But the DMT, I think, blew my mind because I was a lot more, I thought I was going to die actually in the first 5 minutes. It was horrendous. And I was just, it's weird because your thinking mind is still there. Your ego's there. Uh-huh. And it's, so I was telling myself, breathe, you're fine. You breathe, you're fine. Whilst my subconscious thinks it's dying. It was really intense, but then I opened my eyes.
I'm out.
No, but then I opened my eyes. I kid you not, you're gonna think I'm nuts. I opened my eyes and I looked at the palm of my hand. I could see through my skin and I could see the blood traveling through all of the capillaries. Like, I know I sound nuts. And
no, I'm trying not to look like you sound nuts. Close my face. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of For Soul's Sake, where we learn, listen, and grow together based on conversation around holistic wellness, yoga, Ayurveda, mantra, all of the buzzwords are in there. And today we have another wonderful guest, one which I am excited to speak to, someone that I'm deeply appreciative of, someone that I actually respect a lot from a distance because she's got an amazing aura already. Even though this is the first time we're meeting, she's got an amazing presence. Kat is a prominent UK-based yoga teacher and wellness lover, dedicating her mission in life to sharing wellness, lifestyle tips, and yoga to encourage positive changes for all. Kat has always been passionate about movement. Prior to entering the world of yoga, she was an avid dancer and gymnast. However, after suffering numerous injuries and a knee operation, she started to deeply try and understand her body through the practices of yoga. This uncovered a new world for Kat as it revealed more about her as a person, her body, and how she treats the world around her. Dedicated to helping others, Kat now runs a number of yoga and wellness workshops, retreats, and also her very own app called Soul Sanctuary, which offers guided yoga practices, guided meditation, and yoga wisdom for all people of all experience levels. Kat, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for a lovely intro. I think it's always nice. I don't think people celebrate themselves enough. And then when someone else reads what you do, you're like, oh,
that's
I do.
Me.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I do some really cool stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, you did good.
Thank you. That was all the team. I'm not taking the credit for that. That was completely the team that wrote that intro.
Thanks, team.
Thanks, team. Thanks, Nam. I know you're listening, so thanks for that. Let's get stuck in on all things yoga, wellness, and otherwise. Where did it start for you? I know that you were an avid dancer and gymnast, but then what was the kind of turning point to say yoga was your thing as opposed to, no, I'm just going to go and do a 9-to-5 in an office?
So I did the 9-to-5 in an office.
Okay.
Did the corporate world.
Wow.
For quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Was a PA and a secretary and then worked in PR and marketing. And then because of these injuries, I couldn't do the things that I really loved, which was the gymnastics and the dancing. It was all a bit too high impact. And I am one of those people that came to yoga through the physical, which I would love to talk a bit more about in a bit. I'm like pointing at you. So somebody said to me, you know, you should try yoga or Pilates. And I don't know why. Pilates just didn't call to me.
Okay.
Don't know why, and just went to a very basic class with my mum at the local leisure centre. And I remember doing Trikonasana and thinking, what on earth are these muscles and why is this so hard? And I was just like, what is this?
Yeah.
I think because of all the things that I could do with my body, I was amazed that there was this new world that was so slow. But I found it so hard.
Difficult. Uh-huh.
And, you know, there were parts of it that I maybe found a little bit easier physically and then parts of it I found harder. And I think I was just quite mesmerized by the idea that I hadn't quite, you know, when I can do all of these things with my body, you think that, especially in elite gymnastics and dancing, you're sort of going to the next hardest thing that looks like something big and magical. And then I'm told to just stand for 5 breaths in this shape.
It's hard.
And I was like,
it's hard. I was shaking the first time I did yoga. I was like, damn, this, they make it look so easy.
I know.
But like standing in Warrior 1 or 2 or whatever, I don't know the names. But
yeah. If you haven't done the asana for, you know, before, you're like, what is this torture?
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Right. Yeah.
And my mum really enjoyed it. And it was a really lovely way for us to bond. My mum is my biggest fan. She does all of my videos online.
Hello, Mom.
She's great. Hi, Mum. And so from there, it was a bit on and off. I kind of like dabbled, did a little bit. Obviously got quite caught up then in the hierarchy of like the poses and the shapes because of my background. And then I had a blog at the time that was like a fitness blog back when people did blogging. People don't even do that anymore. And was working with brands, was, you know, really lucky to be working with brands. And people were asking me, will I teach classes? And I was like, well, I'm not a teacher. I just like it. I just love doing it.
Yeah.
And then I went to do my teacher training.
Where did you do that, by the way?
Well, it actually no longer exists anymore. Uh-huh. I did my first teacher training at Yoga London.
Okay.
Who have since closed down.
Yeah.
And then have done quite a few other trainings since then. But yeah, I went to do that training and I remember sitting in a circle and they asked everyone, you know, why are you here? And I was like, I just want to understand it a bit more. By that point, I'd heard the woman that I'd been to see would kind of do a little bit more of the philosophy. She'd do a little bit of chanting.
Oh,
and I was like thinking to myself, oh, there's more to this. And this was still in the early days. So I thought, well, if I go and do the training, I don't have to be a teacher. I had no interest in being a teacher. None. I was still working full time, designing jewelry on the side. And then I came out of the training and I was like, I want to teach,
I'm going to teach this.
Because I think you know, even in just those 200 hours, which is just this tiny, yes, tiny little
dip a toe.
Yeah, but you know, you come out of it and you feel this sense of fullness and you've got this community around you of these people that you've trained with, and
it's a very special feeling.
It is. And it's, you know, for whatever, you know, whether people deem the training as good or bad or having the right parts to it, the connection to people that you feel, which is a huge part of what we're doing here, right, is to connect on a really, on a deeper and more wholesome level with the human race. And I came away and I thought, I want to make people feel how I feel right now.
Wow.
And I want to help them feel like that. And so then, yeah, it just continued. And the first yoga class I taught was absolutely awful.
Oh, really?
It was awful.
I mean, most people who teach their first class generally just still sticking to the notes on the paper.
But mine was for an Adidas pop-up in Victoria Park.
Holy crap. The first ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
They emailed me about a week before my graduation saying, we've got this event. We'd love you to teach a class. Are you able to teach it? And I was really close with them, so they kind of knew I was on the journey. And I was like, well, the event is 3 days after I literally get my certificate.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow.
And I did the whole thing of writing notes, and I turned up to that class, and it was the first and last time I ever pre-sequenced a class.
Wow.
Because I turned up and I had a pregnant person, I had 3 injured people, I had 3 complete beginners, and I had like 6 advanced people.
You can't script for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've got to remember what intuition is and what feeling and what energy is. And I had these notes, and it brought me more anxiety to not stick to the script than just to not have a script at all. And so I never wrote one again after my first class.
Wow. That's a big lesson.
Yeah. And it was really, I mean, everyone that was there probably said it was a lovely class because they would have been very kind and very lovely. But it was awful for me, and I say awful just because of the feeling, that feeling of like, oh my gosh, what am I meant to say next?
Wow.
What am I meant to do next? And then I just had to come back to, it's just, what do I want them to feel? How do I want them to feel at the end of this practice? I want them to feel calm, and I want them to feel a sense of peace, and I want them to feel a sense of connection to their body. And that's just the base layer, right? Like, if that's all we're kind of gifting
that's
to them.
That's so different to what people think yoga is by just looking at it from an Instagram post.
Oh, for sure.
The physical. But it's interesting to hear you already dipping into the word feeling, or, you know, the subtle layers of what people are experiencing beyond the body. Was that something you experienced in your training? Is it something that you've always been like in tune? Because like, even just when we were, by the way, for everyone that's listening, when we were setting this podcast up, then Kat was really open about where she was and what she was experiencing, and where she was in life and mentally and with her emotions. And so it seems like you're quite an in tune person with who you are and what your emotions are, etc. And so when you're trying to teach that, or when you're trying to convey that through your classes, your workshops, your retreats. Do you feel that that's something that people find quite challenging, to be more in tune with
Yes.
subtle layers of yoga?
For sure, for sure. I actually, so in my first teacher training, one of the teachings about how to become, so not about the anatomy, not about the philosophy, but for how to, you know, hold yourself as a teacher and how to make a business out of teaching, was to never share anything about you
All right.
with them, because you are there to do a job. And you're right. And so your face right now,
yeah.
can we get this face? And it just threw me. And I, before I ran my first retreat, I was been going through therapy for years. Love therapy. Mm-hmm. Big advocate for therapy.
I want to put a side note on that one. Let's talk therapy.
And I was my first retreat and I was really nervous. And my therapist said to me, I would love for you in the opening circle to sit and share something that you're struggling with the people that have come on your retreat. And that was the best thing I ever did, because they saw me as them, wow. not on this pedestal. Like, I've always struggled with the kind of whole guru status in yoga.
I get you.
I've never trained with the same school twice. And that's not because I haven't loved the school, but it's because I think it's important to get different perspectives and to make your own mind up. And so I suppose when people come on my retreats, there is that element of the Instagram kind of people seeing you on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And being very lovely and being like, oh my gosh, it's you. Like, I've been following you for so long. Mm. And I'm like, hey, so I just want you to know that I'm actually really struggling with X, Y, and Z this week. And I want to just share that with you so that you know that we're all struggling and we're all in it together.
Yeah. I think that's super attractive in terms of for people who are trying to find a teacher or someone that they're trying to learn from, is I haven't got this down 100%. I know enough to share with you, but know that I'm also on the path. I'm a patient and a doctor. Yeah. I'm a doctor and a patient, I should say.
100%. And that retreat, I also took every book that I had ever bought with me.
Wow.
All of my yoga books. I was like, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer?
Right.
And then the other thing that I learned was, oh, the power of I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But hey, actually, I'm quite interested in knowing the answer. So how about we,
explore it together.
Yeah. How about we have a conversation about it? How about like we both go away, do a bit of research and then come back to it? And that was really, I suppose that was probably 5 or 6 years ago now. And so that's kind of how, and it just felt great. And that's how my retreats have gone. Obviously, the Soul Sanctuary being called the Soul Sanctuary, it's not about, yes, we do this physical practice, sure. but it's about how do we link what we're doing on the mat to what we do off the mat? So wow. there's always, with every practice, with every month has a theme, every practice is, what's your takeaway?
What's your theme this month, by the way?
Our theme, well, this month is actually, because we're January, we do a 31 day and it's all about, it's called In Transit, and it's all about honoring the messy in-between moments of life,
wow.
not needing to have the answers. You know that whole saying of one door closes, another one opens?
Yep.
I think we instantly think that one closed, another one's opening now.
Right.
So it's all about just honoring the moments of being like, oh, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, of course.
Of being like, oh shit, what comes next?
Yeah.
And being like, it's okay if I don't know that.
Yeah.
And it's okay to feel fear, and it's okay to feel excitement wrapped in fear. So it's all about that. And that's what we're doing this month, which is fun.
Wow. Something that I was reading just recently, and I shared it at a few events, was this idea that it's from the Bhagavatam, which is like a postgraduate study of bhakti yoga. Mm-hmm. And in that book, it talks about how we should try our best to avoid being crooked in public, which means that presenting ourselves as something that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the long run, when someone calls us out on that which we're not really authentically living, then it hurts us more. Say, for example, I went out and I told everyone, I have fully realized God. I fully realized the full facets of everything to do with divinity. And then someone calls me out on it, it's going to hurt my ego more, because I know deep down that that's not authentically true.
Yeah.
So it's better to be honest and vulnerable and say, I haven't seen God. I maybe experienced a few God-like moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd share that with you.
Yeah.
And, anything beyond that, I'm exploring. I'm a student. I'm in transit.
And that's the thing. But anyone listening to you will be like, oh gosh, me too.
Yeah.
That, I'm so glad that you're actually just as human as I am.
Yeah.
And that's why I share so much of the stuff I share online is because it's kind of that reminder to people that even these people you see online, people you, you know, we get to do amazing things in our jobs. We get to work with incredible people, but we are still human as well at the end of the day. Like I sent you a WhatsApp, didn't I? I sent you a voice note basically saying like, I might cry.
Yep.
It's been a really vulnerable time for me. Mm. And that's something that I did, I've shared a little bit about online, and I've deleted the app this week.
Oh, really?
Oh, best life.
For those that don't know what you're talking about, tell us more.
Instagram. Mm. So I've been having a bit of a tough time with the physical layer of the self. Just kind of, you don't think that you tell yourself all the time, I'm not vain. And then something happens to your face, which is kind of, I've got these skin flare-ups at the moment. Mm. And then I'm in floods of tears. Mm. And it doesn't matter how much I sit with the, this doesn't define me.
Mm.
It's the fear of judgment. It's the shame. It's so many past wounds have come up for me. And I was like, there's a message that's coming physically from my body. Something's, you know, as we know, dis-ease in the body is something that has to kind of just come out. Some kind of toxin.
I love how
you
did that.
Yeah.
Dis-ease.
Mm. You know, that's what's building up. When we suppress energy, when energy gets stuck in the body, it manifests and it comes out as this or, you know, some other physical issue. So I just decided that I need a little bit of time away from the online world. So I've deleted Instagram for a week and I'm loving it.
Really?
Yeah, I love it so much. Although I did go to the beach for a really beautiful sunrise this morning, and it was the first time I found myself thinking, I'd quite like to share that.
Yeah.
But I'll share it next week.
Yeah.
It's fine. I am going to go back onto Instagram. Mm. But I think that we all know how quickly it gets into those, into the dopamine hits and all of that stuff, and how quickly we're then hooked back on it. So it's quite nice just to have rid of it.
Mm.
And deleting makes a difference.
It does?
Yeah.
My wife's done it a few times. I've never done it.
Do it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. But you also will be a little, there's the day before you plan to go back on and you'll be like, I don't want to do it. You'll be like, I love my life too much.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know how to deal with that.
But then you'll go back on, and then you'll forget the time that you ever had off, because you'll then be addicted again.
Have you done
again.
It before? Okay, so recurring.
I should do it more often.
Wow.
I think that a lot of what I'm going through at the moment is a build-up of not having enough time off. And I'm sure you can relate with, you know, doing a lot of stuff online and events in person and retreats. It's like running four different full-time jobs at once, and you work Monday through Sunday, you don't know what day of the week it is. And often every, in quotation marks, holiday actually ends up being some form of work trip anyway, because there's someone that you want to connect with or this. And I think that when you love what you do so much, we forget that it's still extremely draining.
Mm.
And I love what I do. Mm. I wake up every morning and I'm like, pinch me. How is this my life?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean to say I don't get exhausted. And I think sometimes I feel guilty if I maybe moan about it.
Right.
Because I'm obviously extremely blessed and extremely lucky to have the life. But sometimes you just have to be honest with yourself and say, do you know what? I feel a bit fed up. Mm. I'm a bit sad.
Mm.
I just want to curl up and cry. Mm. That's kind of been me for the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
Just kind of curling up and having a few crying sessions.
Mm.
I love crying.
I think maybe I lack the courage to be able to do it. One thing I've always done is I've seen my social media as an opportunity to share opportunities to connect and opportunities to connect both with myself and also with the teachings of bhakti and kirtan and mantra and all that. But what I've always struggled with is being quote unquote vulnerable online just because I just can't tell whether people actually genuinely care.
I get that. I'm not saying that you should, because I don't think it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Because you remember you're opening yourself up as well to, I'd say 99% of my online audience. Oh my gosh, they are just amazing.
Wow.
And when you share, I think depends, you know, if you're somebody that shares goodness with the world, then that goodness will come back to you.
Mm.
But obviously, unfortunately, we are still wired to get triggered by the 1% more than honoring the 99%. And I think that's when I know that I'm quite a sensitive person. So I know when I need to just take a step away. And I know when I need to put my boundaries in place. Mm. So, you know, there's just certain things that I choose. My whole thing is that I will openly talk about anything that is solely to do with me, mm-hmm. but I won't discuss things that are to do with people
that's
outside.
Your boundary.
Yeah. Because I think that's two people's that's two people's stories to tell, right? And yeah. unless those two people are there to tell the story,
yeah.
then you can't tell the story for someone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I really want to come on one of your retreats.
Really?
Yes.
Come.
I really do.
Let's do it.
I want to come to India.
It's on tape now. You can't say no.
I know. I sent it to Luke yesterday and I was like, you know, we're going to be in Sri Lanka in November. Wow. How's about we go through India on the way home?
Do it. I mean... For the reason, here's why I'd suggest anyone comes to a spiritual retreat, pilgrimage. We've called it pilgrimage this year because, see, it's not a soft landing when you go on something like this. When you get out the airplane, if you've never been to India before, especially Vrindavan, if you've never been to a spiritual place like this, it is a culture shock and a half.
Yeah.
You can just be like, what the flip am I doing here?
Yeah.
It's really one of those moments. For the first few days, you're just actually considering your life choice and just, should I have done this or not? But
okay, I'm waiting for the part where you get me
the
to
caveat.
Come.
But on the flip side, returning back here was also a hard landing just to see how different life is when everything's plastered over as being super, super nice and clean and everything's. But then internally, the smile doesn't mean a smile. And the thank you doesn't mean a thank you. And the sorry doesn't mean a sorry.
Yeah.
We live in a culture where it's just maybe my opinion and maybe I'm just being cynical. But I feel like we live in a culture where people don't say what they mean and they don't mean what they say.
Yeah.
And that's one of the beautiful things about Vrindavan. It kind of pulls that out of you. Like so many people on the retreat cry and have challenging moments. But by the end, that work was necessary. And when it's linked with divinity and linked with these practices, these ancient practices of mantra and chanting, I think miracles are possible.
Do you do kirtan every day?
Yeah.
I need to do kirtan every day.
Yeah.
I wasn't something that I had done until I met my husband and he had done Vipassana and he just absolutely loves kirtan's like his like
thing.
If he could do anything, he would go to that.
I need to meet him.
You do. And I see he actually dropped me off and I was like, can you wait around?
Yeah.
But he dropped me off so early because obviously I lied about the time to make sure I got here on time. I'm a really honest person, everyone. but no, so he got me into it. And when we first met, he would just have like all of these songs just playing and playing, and he'd just be wandering around, and the energy was amazing.
I'm so excited to meet him.
And he was cooking, Luke. He was cooking last night, and I went in, and he was just singing along to some kirtan playlist that he had.
Wow.
I was like, this is a vibe.
This is a vibe.
And so then I sent him the link to your retreat, and I was like, we should go here.
Yeah, think about it. Kaylee's coming, my audio engineer, sound producer, music extraordinaire. He's coming. We've got a whole bunch of people coming.
Well, if the dates fit,
let's make it
I'm going to be like, we're doing it, babe.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing.
So that'll be, amazing. Yeah, watch this space.
Kind of switch.
Yeah.
To another chapter. Body image and people learning to live with their flaws.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's ripe for me right now, right?
That's why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Like, how are you honestly dealing with... Because like you go on your Instagram and first of all, you see, wow, this is really beautifully curated. Mm. So many nice, like I was looking for a post that was like not perfect. I was like, damn, damn, scrolling. Every single post is like nicely, like everything's symmetrical. But life isn't like that. I was like, how?
Yeah, you know, my tears, they fall symmetrically.
Yeah.
And they like, they're perfect teardrop shape.
It's a blessing. God's blessed you.
I think for me, I am learning. Mm. Learning being the key here because it's an ongoing journey. To especially with these skin flare ups I'm having at the moment, is to not feel like I need to that's something I need to heal in order to be healed, because I am not. This isn't all of me. So this is approximately 1%. Of, if that, of everything that makes up who I am. So I'm just trying to sit with, I am a healed human being. Yes, I have flaws, and yes, I have ailments, and yes, I feel like I'm getting a little bit older and things ache now. You know, if I drive for 2 hours, I'm like, but as far as it, as you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm very lucky to have this body to be able to, you know, come here, to be able to sit here and talk to you. And it's that daily reminder, though. It is daily, and it's learning, it's gratitude, it's patience. And I'm not saying that I don't have moments where, you know, I walk past the mirror and think, ugh, you know, because I do, because I'm human. And I think, you know, I was brought up around the time of the waif Kate Moss kind of era, where you needed to be so skinny in order to be, you know, deemed as attractive. At least that's how it felt in society back then. That was when like magazines were just coming around, like all those kind of like weekly magazines and stuff. And I then struggled with eating disorders for about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite a long time. From the age of 15 to 25, I was probably, you know, recovering around the 7-year mark. But there was so much shame around it, and I didn't really understand it. And so that's something that I thought that I was recovered, but I think that now I've reframed it into understanding that recovery kind of gives you this idea that that was then, and I have no connection to that now.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm recovered, I'm done.
Right.
It's not here anymore.
Right.
I think what I've come to appreciate and understand is that that's like a wound deep, deep into the core of my soul. Mm. And that's something I have to honor every day. Mm. And it might not come to the surface every day, but every so often at certain times, it might make me feel a bit crap.
Yeah.
And that's really okay, because now I'm in a position where I'm okay with feeling crap. I don't mind feeling not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind having a good old cry. I love journaling. Journaling's been a huge part of my process for years. And so I think that to anybody that struggles with that image and struggles with honoring the flaws, I think that it's being not so much, I guess, honoring the flaws, but it's almost honoring the resistance to honor the flaws. Wow. It's saying that actually, like, it's okay that I'm not in love with my flaws. I'm allowed to not be in love with them right now. I'm allowed to feel a little bit meh, because I know that it's going to pass, like everything. And I know that the day will come and we'll ebb and we'll flow through it. And there'll be a day where I feel great.
Mm.
And that day will come again. And it's having that trust.
Wow.
So I think that's kind of where I'm at on my journey at the moment.
Do you have any pieces of advice for young girls who look up to you? I'm sure there are many that look up to you and say, I want to be like Kat Meffin one day. And do you have any, like, maybe here's what I wanted to know. Do you have anything that you want to warn them about on that path? Anything that you, if a younger version of you was talking to you today, would there be anything that you'd want to warn that person about?
Oh my gosh.
Pitfalls, anything to be wary of, anything to...
Oh my gosh. Oh my, I mean, how long have you got?
We've got the
time. Mean, well, I think some key things is that, so, I mean, one of the biggest things is that nobody else owns you and your feelings.
Mm.
So you get to decide ultimately. And obviously we, like I said, we were talking then about like how you feel, but you do get to make that decision.
Yeah.
You get to choose how, even if someone says something really horrible to you, or you read something horrible, or you see something that you compare yourself against, you do get to make that choice, however hard that is. And I think growing up, you know, to anyone, I mean, this doesn't necessarily have to be boys. Boys were a bit mean to me, because boys can be mean.
Mm,
but
I know.
Girls can also be mean too.
I know.
And I think that I allowed myself just to give myself to other people and to put my emotions and my feelings about who I was and the way I looked in the hands of someone else.
Wow.
And how mad is that? Because it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. Why would I...
remote control of your life in someone else's hands.
Yeah. You've literally just said, hey, you just take this and you can just control how I feel about myself, my body, how I feel about relationships, my family. And it's like... Yeah, always bring it back to knowing that you are ultimately in control.
Yeah.
That would be a really key thing. We all know this, but I'm going to say it again, social media. Mm. You know, social media is an incredible place. You and I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for social media. Agreed. And I've been able to meet some of my best friends through social media, but it can also be toxic. You know, like even, so it's mad, even you saying like I scrolled through your page and it all looked perfect and symmetrical. Yeah. The crazy thing is that I don't plan it that way.
Oh, damn.
There's not, I'm actually really lazy with social media.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It does not look
that way. I'm really lazy with social media. I'm like the bare minimum person.
Me too, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'll take a photo. I think it's fine. It's all good. I mean, I'm really fortunate that I have like a beautiful studio to do my yoga in, right? And that's where I am every day. So that helps. But I think it's so easy to assume that we know what's going on in someone else's life through the lens of social media.
Yep.
And therefore we start questioning ourselves and our own lives and our own body image and all of that stuff. So we need to take that time off. We need to take that time away. That would be a really, really key one.
Mm.
And then I think nowadays we all obviously seek this self-love. This will be my last one. We all seek this kind of self-love. And we know that reassurance and validation, I kind of feel like reassurance and validation gets a bad rap these days.
It does.
But we are humans and we're built for connection. And one of the first things I said to you was, you look great today.
Huh?
Like you do. He does. You're going to see him on camera. He looks great. But it's like, hopefully that, even though that was, yes, it was a physical layer thing. Yes, it was an appearance thing. But hopefully that was like really nice to receive.
It was.
And there's power in that.
There is.
You know, there's power in the word of sharing a compliment. And I think sometimes, and it's okay to receive it and to be like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, for years I actually had to deflect. Like when someone said something nice about me, it was easy to just deflect and say, no, it's not me.
Yeah.
No, it can't be me.
It can't possibly.
No.
It's you. You're like an Ibethan god at the moment.
I'll take it.
But yeah, so they're my very not small tips.
We've talked about how to deal with those that don't appreciate. Let me rephrase this. What I want to speak about here is let's talk about receiving gratitude. Like we kind of touched on it there. And I said deflecting. Do you have any tips? Because you're someone that must get glorified by so many people for what you do, the way in which you change people's lives on retreats and workshops, on your app, etc. How do you deal with people saying you're amazing all the time?
Oh, I feel so uncomfortable.
It's hard, right?
So it's funny. One of my best friends came on one of my retreats in the summer. And on the last day, she obviously knows me so well. And on the last day, everyone's being really lovely and saying these amazing words. And then afterwards, she looked at me and she went, are you okay? I was like, oh, it's a lot. She said, the whole time you were like fiddling with your hands and you were like hunching over. She said, I've never seen you so uncomfortable. And I think that I am grateful for the lovely, lovely words. But actually, I'm going to say this here because this will actually make me do it. But something that I'm going to put in place at my next event is no photos at the end of, because I get a lot of people wanting to take pictures, a photo with me. And by the way, if you've ever asked for a photo with me, it's been wonderful. And it's not me saying that's annoyed me. But I think when we've done, like, you know, by that point, we've spent a whole day together on a day retreat. We've just come out of a sound healing. I want everyone to float away in their Shavasana sound healing glory, not queue up for a photo with me. Mm. And I think that, and I'm also doing it for self-preservation as well, because I think I want to leave that day feeling that high and that fullness. And, you know, I'm a hugger. I'm always going to accept a hug. If you come and hug me, then I'm always going to accept a hug. But I think sometimes the photos make me feel uncomfortable because, like we were saying about the whole guru status, the pedestal. I think that it's so amazing that people look up to my journey and I've inspired people on their journey and continue to. But I am still just one of them. I am still, you know.
I appreciate that.
And so that's something that I, for myself and for them, I'm going to put in place.
Wow.
Because it does, it's both incredible to receive, but extremely uncomfortable to receive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you probably feel the same.
I don't do the picture thing. I do no hugs.
Oh, you do no hugs. I'm such a hugger.
I'm not a hugger.
Oh my God, I literally pounced on you the moment I saw you.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's just the thing. It's just my way of showing love is, say, for example, I just took people away on a retreat in Vrindavan just last year. 50 people came on that retreat.
I know.
Phenomenal, great, amazing time away. On the last day, we always do this gratitude evening.
Yeah.
We're kind of like just glorifying each other, offering our appreciation. And everyone wanted to hug. And I was just like, I've just spent 10 days giving you my love. But I don't think that it's necessary that, see, like, it's somehow setting, it's not boundaries. That's not the word I want to use. It's about somehow being authentic to how you want to appreciate
others. Of course.
You know?
Of course.
Yeah, so I can understand what you say. When you said no pictures, in my head I was like, what? No pictures? But then I can understand that that's you just saying, no, I've given you love in a different way.
Yeah.
And I want you to...
And I want them to still feel it in that way. Exactly. Like, I want, rather than, ultimately, no one... How many times do you go back in your phone other than my wedding pictures? They're like literally pictures that I go back in my phone. Yeah. So I would rather you leave the space feeling that amazing tingly sensation that you have cultivated throughout the whole day, and smile at one another and converse with one another about your experience, then waste time with me. Yeah.
You're kind of undoing the work.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. But it's tricky because obviously, you know, at some point I'm going to have to actually vocalize that to the group, and I don't want that to come across as being ungrateful.
Right.
So it's... That's why I thought, if I say it out loud.
The thing is, I'm not going to judge you. Like, if I see that you did pictures on your next retreat, I'm not going to be like, what the hell, man?
On the longer ones, on the ones where we actually, when there's only like 16 to 18 people and we're, you know, away for a week together, I feel like that's a little bit different. But when there's 60 people and we've been together for a day.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, my God.
I can't smile for that long.
Yeah, but your cheeks are just like killing.
Yeah.
But it comes from such a lovely place. But yeah, I think for them and for me, and they won't know that they won't realize I'm doing it for them until afterwards. Then they'll be like, oh yeah.
Right.
And maybe we'll just do like one group photo or something.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a nice middle ground.
Middle ground.
But gratitude is a wonderful thing. My husband and I do gratitude every night.
Really?
At dinner. Yeah.
How do you do it?
We just say it. Three things that we're grateful for at dinner every night. I tried to implement us doing something that we'd like to celebrate the other person for and then celebrate ourselves for. But I think he thought I just wanted compliments. It's true, I did. Yeah. So validate me.
Luke, we sussed it out.
So now we're just going back to the gratitudes. But it's become such a, like, we don't miss it. If we're not together, we text it to each other.
Wow.
It's been
That's been really tough for me lately because we have one baby. He's 2.5 years old and we're having a second one. And it's been hard to kind of find those times. And so, like, one of the things I tell couples quite often is that just value those times together
because
you just don't, maybe kids and maybe other life circumstances that will just maybe change that dynamic. And maybe you'll, in a few years' time, go, oh, that was really nice. Why don't we do it anymore? Just value it. Like, make the most of tonight's
all of the gratitudes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll find a way though, even if we do have a child.
Yeah.
I'd be like, child, get involved.
Child, get involved. Goo goo gaga.
Yeah, literally. Should I say something?
Yeah. I'm going to leave the space open here for anything that you want to share. We've spoken about some of the things that you're going through in life.
Mm.
And one of the things that I really want to do on these podcasts going forward is allow our guests to speak anything they want to speak about.
I actually do have something. And it's been something that's actually been... And I said at the start, we did a little pinpoint because... Mm-hmm. So I do this 31-day yoga journey every January, and I got a little bit triggered online before Christmas because I saw a number of teachers who are amazing teachers, and they do a lot of philosophy, so there's a lot more depth there, doing these kind of very, what felt to me, maybe they weren't, that kind of in-your-face Instagram posts and reels sort of saying, do not start yoga in January if all you're doing it for is the physical. Now, I understand that message, But how do we teach people something if they never start? How do we help them understand something if they never even try it? And it made me it made me a bit sad.
I can understand.
Because I was like, we've kind of gone from one extreme to the other. Like, I fully agree that, like, the Western world has taken yoga and, like, wrapped it up in this little white blonde bow and sold it with a load of leggings. But I sort of feel like then that message takes it so far the other way, whereby it's like, well, unless you are ready to sit in the meditation and to do the self-study right now, then you're not kind of welcome here. So I suppose, as somebody that has come to yoga for the physical primarily at the start, but has developed just a completely different world, basically. I'm a completely different human now as to who I was when I started, but I wouldn't have got to where I am now if it wasn't for starting it for that reason. So I think that's why I got a little bit triggered and a bit upset, because I would always tell everybody, just get on the mat, see what comes. Maybe you will love it. Like, you know, even my mum, she used to fast forward the start of my videos when I would do the more, like, chatty stuff. Yeah. If I would ground us, when I would, like, set our intention, if I'd want to talk about the theme, she'd be like, well, sometimes you just talk for a bit too long.
Good
old mum. Now, she did, like, one of my future vision meditations the other day, and she was working with, like, the ego, and it was just amazing to hear her talk about it and to see how far she's come. But had she have not started, she would never have got to that point. So that's really important for me.
That's really valuable. I had a similar experience where I saw something online where they talked about mantra, and even it's meant to be said mantra and not mantra. And, like, the principle and the detail, that's, I think we get so caught up in the in the detail of, oh, you know, you shouldn't be on the mat unless you do this. And you shouldn't, you know, be careful about this when you go to kirtan. You know, you should be pronouncing it like this and not like that. And I value that opinion. I value that opinion because I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
But I think if people didn't come feeling that they could come as they are, then how can we explore the deeper truths without them even being there in the first place?
Completely. I mean, I got retaught how to say chakra recently, about a year ago.
Yeah.
I was going, you know, I was just going, I was going about my way, chakra.
Yeah.
And then I finally learned it, but had I have not come, but I can now speak openly about that. And I mean, I could feel really ashamed.
Yeah.
And that's not going to get me anywhere. I could feel unbelievably ashamed that for however many years of my career, I was saying something very key, very wrong. But I'd rather just be really honest about the fact that I was getting it wrong.
Yeah.
One of the wonderful teachers that I work with taught me, and we did voice note after voice note of me trying to get it right and to really, really understand it.
That must have been a funny conversation.
And sometimes, because you're so used to saying something in one way, every time I'd then say it, I'd be like, oh no, I did it wrong. Like, start again, you know, but that's part of the journey.
Part of the journey.
And I agree that there's, I think that, and that's the other thing with social media, is that people are obviously putting the message out there in quite a feisty way, because Instagram loves feist, loves feistiness.
The algorithm loves it.
Oh, loves it so much. So they know that it will get a little bit more attraction, a little bit more engagement, more views. But to the people actually viewing it, it can come across as being quite harsh.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh gosh, well, I shouldn't ever do a downward facing dog again.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy of it. And it's like, we have to find the balance. We
have to find the balance.
We do. And I'm still learning for sure.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, something that was really important for me to share.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to go into quick fire round.
Ooh, this makes me nervous.
It's usually just quite straightforward.
Stretch out my legs.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Downward facing dog. Get ready. Get steady. Okay. One word or one sentence. Or if you feel it needs more, then you can go for it. I'm not strict like that.
Okay.
Okay. What's something you're curious about right now?
Ooh, psilocybin mushrooms.
Oh, I want to know more. can we
talk about more?
Can we talk about mushrooms?
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about mushrooms. Go on.
I went on my first ever psilocybin retreat.
There's a whole retreat on psilocybin.
There's many retreats.
Wow.
So in April last year, I went away for 5 nights and did 2 mushroom ceremonies and also did DMT, which completely blew my mind. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what DMT is. Sorry, I'm in.
So DMT is the chemical that gets released in the body. Then it's a natural chemical in the body, but it gets released when we die. And they don't actually know the exact reason.
Why?
Yeah. Why? I recommend watching the series called Psychedelica on Gaia. It will fill you in on everything because I don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. And DMT lasts for about 10 minutes. You inhale it and you go into... So the psilocybin was amazing. They were like 4, 5, 6 hour journeys. But the DMT, I think, blew my mind because I was a lot more... I thought I was going to die, actually, in the first 5 minutes. It was horrendous. And I was just... It's weird because your thinking mind is still there. Your ego's there. Uh-huh. And it's... So I was telling myself, breathe, you're fine. You breathe, you're fine. Whilst my subconscious thinks it's dying. It was really intense. But then I opened my eyes.
I'm out.
No, but then I opened my eyes. I kid you not, you're going to think I'm nuts. I opened my eyes and I looked at the palm of my hand... I could see through my skin and I could see the blood traveling through all of the capillaries. Like, I know I sound nuts. And
no, I'm trying not to look like you sound nuts. Close my face.
It was just, and like the grass, you could see so clearly. Because obviously they say that we only use such a small percent of what we're actually capable, what we actually have.
Yep.
So what these medicines are doing, what they're gifting us is like, you know, clearer vision and clearer insight. And with the DMT, it was like, I've never seen like that. And I wasn't seeing, it wasn't hallucinations in the sense that I was seeing things that, it wasn't like I was seeing butterflies when there weren't butterflies. It was like, I was just seeing the world in so much detail. Mm. And the sounds, the birds, because we sat outside and did it, the birds tweeting were like, it was so intense. But anyway, so I did that.
I mean, that's super curious for me. Like, it definitely tickles the interest. But I've kind of made it clear in my life that I am not doing anything that is beyond that which is already kind of, I don't know how to put it.
I kind of feel like I know what you mean, because I did that in April and I'm part of the group of people that went and they do monthly retreats. And some people are going away and doing this so much.
I don't know if that's healthy.
Right. Because are you just filling another
void?
Yeah. And are you just going for another high? So I guess for me is that though I'm really curious about it now because I've done it and I want to read more about it. I want to watch more documentaries about it, but I don't feel like I'm in a place where I'm like, right, well, I've ticked that off and now I must go and do ayahuasca and I must go and do this. It was like, maybe I'll do it again at some point. But I'm curious about it as a whole topic.
I got you.
Not in the sense that I'm like desperate to get back. And I do think, and I agree, because I think that we are extremely powerful as we are. We don't need these things.
Yeah, that's where I kind of sit on that.
For sure. And I am 100% with you. Mm. They enhance, they give us another view, they open up a new perspective. Wow. But we don't need them. Mm-hmm. I lived a perfectly wonderful life prior to doing it. And I'm not like, I must do it again in order to continue living a wonderful life. But I'm just, I'm curious just about it. And I'm also curious about how it's opening up and how it's more and more people are doing it and what that means for the communities and the medicine people. And so that my curiosity is in it from all parts, you know. Are we honoring it still? What it's actually here for? You know? So yeah, good quick fire.
I mean, that was really good. Really, really good. I said, this is the first time I've ever said one sentence, one word, and then I've just like gone off on one. So I'm sorry, my bad.
Okay.
Okay, next one. What's something you're personally working through at the moment?
Well, I think we can say my skin issues and how that makes me feel emotionally. Wonderful. And just, being okay with that. Sorry, one word.
No. One sentence.
I told you I can talk for England.
No, that's cool. England, we have someone that can talk for you. What short piece of advice would you give 10-year-old Kat?
Mm. it's okay to show off because showing off doesn't mean that you'll get bullied.
Wow.
10-year-old Kat thought that she got bullied if she did anything good. Yeah.
Wow. It's okay to show off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that's in any ways triggered something in my mind. Mm. Something you used to deeply value but don't value as much anymore.
The restraints of a corporate world of 9 to 5 and that, yeah, I used to think that that was the only way.
Right. And I think a lot of people still do.
Yes, it's not.
You 9 to 5ers, it's not. The way. There's other ways. Trust us. Cool. And last one, here we go. If you could create one law that everyone has to follow in the world, what would it be?
You have to smile more.
Okay.
It's so silly, but when on my way here, I don't know if you remember this song, there was a song by a woman called Sandy Tom, and it's called I Wish I Was a Punk Rocker with Flowers. It was like, oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. Anyway, boom, 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 boom. Anyway, but then it came up with the album title, okay. And the album title is Smile, .. It confuses people. And I was like, how is that the world that we live in?
Yeah.
Where if you smile at someone, they're like, are they smiling at me?
Mm.
Are they looking at me? What have I done? What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why would they be looking at me?
Yeah. What's your problem?
So I'm like, let's just smile more.
Yeah.
That it's a really terrible. Yeah, I mean, no, of all the laws that I could put in place.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like to be normal means that you accept the values of an insane world.
Right.
You know,
I like that.
To say I'm normal means you're accepting the values of an insane world, a world where people don't smile.
Yeah.
And it's not normal to smile. I can't trust anyone that doesn't know how to smile.
I just think, look, we can't always smile all the time because sometimes we're sad.
Gotcha.
But I just think that there should maybe be a law that for a percentage of the time, we should try and smile more.
Yeah. We should have alarm clocks which say smile. We should create an app.
It's just like, reminder to smile.
Yep.
And imagine everyone was just like,
Yep. All right, cool. I've got no more quickfire questions. I wish I had more. These are great. Thank you, Kat.
I've got a quickfire question that you need to think of a quickfire question off the top of your head. Go.
What's your favorite color and why?
Oh, blue, sky, ocean, nature, calm, soothing, everything.
What's your favorite piece of jewelry that you cannot live without?
Oh, I've got really too many, but my dad made me this crescent moon pendant and it just reminds me.
Is your dad a jeweler?
He is. He's a goldsmith. Wow. He's incredible.
Wow. My dad used to be a jeweler as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was ashamed my dad used to be because he also retired last year.
Oh wow.
But hopefully he'll still keep making things for me.
Wow.
Like, dad.
Come on, dad.
Come on, dad. I'm waiting for that ring, please.
Kat, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is great. This is really natural and organic. And I felt like I didn't even have to look at the script at all. So I'm sorry, team, who made the script, but I didn't have to look at it at all. I felt that there's a really nice organic conversation. And I really value your time. I really value that you came. And as you are, you felt like a very authentic conversation, one in which you could share your truths. Mm. And thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very grateful to you and for this whole setup of people.
Oh, yeah, these guys are great. Thank you all for listening. I hope you had a insightful podcast listen. And I can't wait to share with you at the next For Soul's Sake episode. I love you all very, very dearly. Please, please do continue to listen, learn and grow with us. Until next time, namaste and Haribo.